Glory to God. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Only to three people, though. He's only good to three people. Oh, I know God is good. Amen. He loves us. Glory. You know, the Bible says that you can put on the spirit of praise, or a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And so if you're heavy, you might as well praise your way out of it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But, you know, if you ever feel that pressure or something, you know, whatever was going on around you, you know, we just come into a new year out of an old year. And there's, you know, I got to thinking about this on the way down here, that there's always, you know, it doesn't matter. January, what is it? January 11th? Yeah, January 11th today. You know, January 11th next year will surely be different on some level. January 11th last year was completely different than it was this year. Amen. Certainly wasn't 60 degrees, I don't believe. Amen. Or in the 60s. Praise the Lord. And, you know, just things always change. And one of the things that we're actually blessed with in this area is that things change so much. You might think, well, how is that blessing to us? It's a blessing to us because we don't get stale, do we? We can kind of take change for granted a little bit because we're so used to it. But we know that change is a good thing and that God wants to do things. But God can't do them if we're going to resist the change. Amen. And so we know that God's doing good things here. Praise the Lord. I was encouraged as I was up here, you know, just in prayer ahead of time there. You know, it's just the spirit of prophecy just started coming, you know, and things. It's just so wonderful when God moves on us and gives us those flows. Amen. And is giving us stuff for the future. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Glory to God. Tonight's message is called, Do You Measure Up? Amen. Do you measure up? Amen. And we're going to be talking about some good stuff tonight. Actually, this message changed on me last minute, so I'm pretty excited for where we're going to go. You know, whenever, you know, I'm always excited when I get a message and when I change. I just, you know, I don't know why God does it, but he does sometimes, and it's good. Maybe it's just to see if we'll go with him. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you know, when John was up there doing announcements, I was thinking about this. I can't imagine not having questions. You know what I mean? When I come to, like, listen, if you're a Christian that doesn't have questions, you're not a Christian who's very hungry. Because I don't know it all, you don't know it all, and we should always have questions. There should always be things stirring in us that we want. Because what it means if we don't have questions, it means that we're not searching. Because if you know where something is, you don't search for it, right? If you have a pile of gold in your backyard, when you need money, you don't go searching for it. You just go to the pile, right? If you've got money in the bank account, you don't go searching for it. You just go get it out. Amen. Well, if we don't, the same thing is with knowledge. If we don't desire knowledge, we're not searching for it. And so we want to be those that are constantly searching for knowledge. I'm constantly seeking God on questions. I'm constantly having, wanting more direction, wanting more understanding, better understanding of the word. Even, you know, tonight we're going to get into, there's at least one scripture that we are in often every week, in fact. And I just saw more in it today than I ever had before. Even though I preach about it every week or talk about it every week, essentially, you know, but that's our God. He's an infinite God. And so we need to always keep that out there. There's no room in Christianity for boredom. Boredom is a result of somebody who's just being lazy. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so if you're bored, just look at it like this. You're just being spiritually lazy and you need to stir yourself up. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So do you measure up? Amen. There are no accidents with God. We have to understand that. No accidents with God. God is a God of purpose, and therefore all his principles work accordingly. Yes. They always work according to his purpose. You know, this is an area where the devil likes to manipulate it. The devil, that's how he gets in so often. That's how he gets Christians off, is that he manipulates the purposes of God. In fact, that's all sin really is it's there are different manipulations of what God's purpose for humanity was. Amen. We know, you know, if you talk about sexual sin, you know, of course, it's very easy to see. God, that was a blessing that God gave mankind. He didn't, you know, he could have made procreation something that was just an act, just something you do, and didn't add any enjoyment with it, but he did. Praise the Lord. And so we know that he did that, but then what does the devil do? He comes in and manipulates it and turns it into something perverse and crooked and tries to get people off doing wrong things. And then, you know, pretty soon that sin, it just overtakes people. And how many people are trapped in it? You know, but it's no different than anything. You know, when I study the Bible, You know, there's a lot of things that, you know, these religious people of old, the Pharisees and stuff like that, there's a lot of things they weren't technically wrong on. It was their heart that was the issue, you know. It's just like, you know, Jesus dealt with people who were wealthy, and God is not against wealth. I mean, by God, if you look at, I was just in just a little bit today. I wasn't even studying out wealth, but I just happened to be in some scriptures because I wanted to, I was researching there's these angels that are around the throne of God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for eternity. They're just always there worshiping God. And so I was looking up them, and as I was looking up them, it was describing the throne around God, amen? And it was talking about all these gems and jewels and, you know, gold and all this stuff that we know heaven is full of. So God obviously isn't against wealth. He's not against that in of itself, but we know that he's against a heart that only desires wealth. He's not against you wanting something, but he is against you coveting things, amen? And so we understand this with God, that it's always a heart issue. It says, but the devil always comes in and tries to manipulate those areas that God has endeavored to be a blessing. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, God has put gifts and callings in people's lives. And sometimes, you know, those gifts and callings are supposed to come out in a certain amount of time. Sometimes people get impatient and they try to make it happen. And when they try to make it happen, that thing that God meant to be a blessing ends up being something that's not a blessing. Amen. And so we see this with God. So there's purpose. God always has purpose in the things that he's designed. But the devil, through manipulation, gets us to be convinced of other things and do bad things. And so we need to understand this, that there's a lot of times, if we're not people who look to our own lives and say, if there's something going wrong, am I connected to the wrong? Am I connected to why it's going wrong? Amen? And so we need to be people who examine our lives from the standpoint of God's word. Amen? Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Mark 4:24. Mark 4:24. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I love the word of God. Amen. Sets us free. Amen. Hallelujah. Said then he, and we're talking about Jesus, of course, here. Said then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. Praise the Lord. In the Amplified, it says, and he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. Amen. And so Jesus was telling them, he was warning them, listen, it's important how you receive the word of God. It's important how you look at it. If you just receive the word like lackadaisical, then that's all you're going to get out of it. But if you study the word, you become a person who studies the word, become a person who is just infatuated with what God has to say, you're going to find the truths of life that actually set you free. And this is a place where Christians either do well or they fail. It's because some Christians, they just come in and they'll sit and listen to the word, but they never get into it more for themselves. They never really study things out. They never get on a relentless pursuit of truth. And as a result, they often will not walk into all that God has for them. Amen. Jesus was guaranteeing us here. He was saying that if you measure it good, if you put your excitement on, so to speak, if you get excited about the word, if you get excited, see, that's why coming to church is so important, and how we come to church is so important. Because when we come into the house of the Lord, the way we're coming in is the measure in which we're using. And so when I said in the, you know, the title of the message is, do you measure up? Of course, it's not saying whether or not you're a good enough Christian or not. That's not what we're focused on. The focus is do you listen to the word? Do you hear what the word has to say? Or does it kind of come in one ear and go out the other? You know, I've seen this so often where people resist the word, resist the word, resist the word. And I always want to ask the same question to people who resist the word. How's that working for you? Praise the Lord. I know this according to the word, that the word was not designed to knock people down. It's not designed to destroy people. It's not designed to make people feel worse about themselves. Amen. It's designed for edification. It's designed for help and to give instruction into righteousness. And yet there's so many things that I see people just tearing apart. There's so many things, religions. You know, one of the big ones, of course, we see often is, how certain people have taken a few scriptures out of context and said, now, women can't be ministers and stuff like that. And, they will focus on things that don't really matter. There's maybe one or two scriptures where you could point to. And if you just read them on the surface, maybe that's what you could get. But we have to remember something about this word. Now, I am not a person who thinks that this word is fallible. It's infallible. The truth that God has given us is good. But you do understand that this Bible has been translated by man. And as such, because it's been translated by man, there is opportunity for man to get in the way. Now, don't think that this wasn't a plan of God. God most certainly intended for man to translate it. And when God intended man to translate it, he knew that there would be imperfections. Amen. God didn't need to make it perfect to get us the truth. Praise the Lord. But he wanted to use mankind. And don't you, if you just think about your own life, you may look at yourself and you think, man, I have a pretty good heart for things. I have a pretty good heart for wanting more of God and to follow God and be a good Christian and stuff like that. But don't you miss it at times? Isn't there times where, man, maybe you believe something a little bit wrong, or you did something a little bit wrong because of what you believed wrong? That happens, right? God knows that. He's not holding us to such a strict standard that he's saying that you can't have any fluctuation. Now, the word is truth. And so what we have to understand by that is, no matter what, the truth will speak to us. Amen. But there's also a reason that God has given us his spirit, and so that's so we can understand it. Because it doesn't matter if there's a perfect... Listen, if this was written unhindered, if this was written perfect... There's people out there that would still read it wrong. There's people that would still take it wrong. So that perfection isn't going to change it. But my point is that people come at it from the wrong heart. They'll use a scripture to try to tear apart a ministry, or try to tear someone down, or say, this is why you're wrong. And see, that's not why what we're trying to do. It's not wrong to preach something that's an error and stuff like that. Of course, we do that, and that's important for us to understand. But that's why it's also important to study the word, to get in the same measure which you do, which you hear, praise the Lord, the same measure you use. Well, praise God. So we know that God has plan, he has a plan and a purpose to get to us through the word, but the measure which we use, now again, surface things. If you're not studied in the word, then you're probably not going to be used much in the word. And so if you miss certain things, underlying things, Jewish customs and stuff like that, and things you didn't understand when they were preaching, that's okay. It's not going to make a difference. So a baby Christian coming in, we're not going to ask most baby Christians that come in here to get up and give a sermon within the first few weeks they're going to be here, right? We're going to want them to get studied, amen? And if somebody is called, what do? They go through a process of time where they learn things about faith and the word, and they understand the flow of God. And when they built character and these other things in them, then they are usable. Then they're ready to be used. But up until then, they're learning. There's nothing wrong with that. But so that's what we have to understand. The Bible was written by, inspired by God, but the translations that we have sometimes were translated by men. And so, or not sometimes, they always were. And so sometimes there's understandings of things and just little variations that can, I want to be careful, because I don't want you to think that, well, this word we can't. No, we absolutely can trust the word. Amen. But what I'm saying is the main points that God has for us, he will say over and over and over in many different ways. He'll say it backwards, forward, upside down even. He'll give it to us many ways, so it's clear. I think there's not one Christian religion, if you want to call it that, that would disagree that God is love. Right, right. Now, they disagree on what that means, but they don't disagree on God is love. Why? Because it's a theme in Scripture. Most Christians don't disagree on the fact that Jesus came to save the lost. And if you receive Jesus, you receive salvation. And that salvation means you get into heaven. Most people don't disagree with that. There are some that do, but most people don't. Why? Because the theme is through Scripture. Amen? Glory to God. But there's a lot of other things, and we want to make sure that we stick with the abundance of what Scripture is saying to us. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we're in Mark 4, 24. Let's go on, verse 25. Praise the Lord. It says here, for whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Now, I never understood that. That always bothered me until I read it, and there's a version in Luke who says something very similar, amen? In Luke 8, 18, it says, and just go ahead and stay where you're at, but in Luke 8, 18, it says, therefore take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken from him. And I love that it says even what he seems to have. See, sometimes people think that they have an idea. They think, oh, I've got a pretty good understanding of Christianity. I met a guy this week at a coffee shop, and he thought that he had a pretty good understanding of the word. And he said, he told me that he didn't know everything, but he was on a relentless pursuit of truth. Glory to God. But then everything that he was presenting to me as truth was quite the opposite. It wasn't truth at all. It wasn't the word at all. But what he kept presenting was from the standpoint of knowing the truth. And I'm sitting here listening to the guy, and I'm finding all these holes in what he's saying by other scriptures. Amen. But then he goes on to tell me, he's like, well, but I don't go to any church because there's no good churches. I mean, literally, he said this to me. Now, I'm a pastor, and I believe I have pretty decent churches. But one thing I don't believe is that I have perfect churches. If you're looking for perfection, you ain't going to find it. But see, that is the utmost example of what pride is. Thinking that there's nothing good enough for you out there. That God didn't design it in such a way that he would. Now, God is very clear. The Bible is very clear about our need to be congregated together. Our need to be part of a body. Guess what? That body that you're going to be connected to ain't going to be perfect. Now, I don't know about you, but I look down at my body, and sometimes I get out of the shower and glance over in the mirror and wish I didn't. You know what I'm saying? My body isn't perfect. My body, when I look at my body, everything about, you know, it always works the way that I want it to. Certainly doesn't work the way I did when I was 18. Amen. And so we understand that not everything is always perfect. You know, my body, if nothing else, my body has slowed down the way it processes food. I used to be able to eat whatever I wanted. It did not matter. I still gained muscle. Praise the Lord. It don't work that way. I gained something, but it certainly ain't muscle. Amen. Praise the Lord. What am I saying? My body ain't perfect. But I'm sure glad I got my body. I'm sure glad that I have the body I have to use. Why? God's given me the body that I have. And he's given you the body that you have. Praise God. Hallelujah. And there are limitations in the body. There's different limitations based on who you are. Maybe, you know, different things. You're not going to expect many 80-year-olds to go out and bench press 500 pounds. You're just not going to do it. For the most part, that's true. There may be one out there that can, I don't know, but for the most part, it's true. And so we understand that there's no perfect bodies, but again, God uses this. God doesn't care that God could have made you strong like an angel, but he didn't.
That's right.
Why? How do we know he could have? Because he made the angels. Yeah. Praise God. You know, actually, I believe that God made us, let me say this. The Bible says that we have this gift. Paul said we have this gift in earthen vessels. Yeah. In other words, you have this gift in something that can be broken. Yeah. Jesus' body was broken for us. Amen. We know that. And so we have this gift in a body that can be broken. It was an amazing thing that God did that, because he was showing that I want to work through them. He's like, I'm going to show my power in these earthen vessels, in these things that can be broken. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And so the same thing is you'll have groups of people. If you study, I've been studying past revivals and different things that God has done on the earth. And you know what's really interesting about what God has done on the earth? He's done it in people that weren't perfect. He's done it in people that didn't have a clue about some of the things in Scripture that we just preach all so readily. People that didn't know faith. People that didn't know about healing. People that didn't know about living right sometimes. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. God used all kinds of people. Why? Because they were hungry for them. He measured back to them with the measure that they were putting out. They said, I just want more of God. I'm not perfect. I'm not trying to be perfect. I just want more of God. Amen. Now, again, I'm going to say this here because we need to keep this in balance. I am not saying that this is an excuse to go out and live wrong. Certainly not. Praise the Lord. Because there is that manipulation that the devil tries to do. He will manipulate people to think that they can go do this, they go do this, they get into trouble, and then they wonder where God is. And the whole truth was is that they stepped away from the commandments of God and the truth of God. And so so we understand this. So, but what I was getting to, the reason I brought up Luke 8:18 is because there's so many Christians, and this guy included, who thought they have something, and what they have is nothing. This thing that he has, this wonderful knowledge that he thinks he has, keeps him from the very blessing of God. And the man said something to me that was kind of sad. He said to me, I don't have many friends. And I felt for him. I was like, brother, you could come into the house of the Lord and you could, I know I didn't have time to explain all this. You know, there's different, you have to be wise about how you speak to people when you have opportunity. Most of what he said, I just let him speak because that's all he wanted to do. He didn't want to listen. You know, and if somebody doesn't want to listen, they're not going to hear you. Yeah. Let me say that again. If somebody doesn't want to listen, they're not going to hear you. You can't make somebody listen to the truth who does not want to hear the truth. In fact, when I sit down with somebody who's got questions or who's questioning what I preached or something like that, my first question to them generally is this. Can your mind or your theology be changed through the Word of God? Right. And if the answer is no, then I have no place to sit there and talk with them. Right. Why? I can't, because all I'm going to do is we're going to get in an argument or we're going to have a discussion and it's not going to go anywhere. And if I know that, then there's no point. And what we have to do is for those people, we have to pray for them and say, Lord, you need to deal, you know, Lord, deal with their hearts and help them. And of course, we'll be willing to speak when we should. But we have to know that sometimes it's just not wise to speak. And in this case, it wasn't going to change anything anyways. Praise the Lord. He was even familiar with our churches. And he had been to the Jamestown church. Now, I'm not trying to tear this guy apart. You understand. But I'm just trying to show you an example of how Christians can think wrong. You know, this man, he said, I've been to the Jamestown church. And he said, they're pretty good. They got things pretty right on. But he said, there's these things that I've been shown or I've seen in the Word that are off. But they're not things that are off, but they're just things that he thinks are off. Amen? Yeah. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. And so even what he thinks he has is being taken from him. Yeah. Amen? And it's not because God doesn't want him to have more. God does. He wants every man, woman, and child to have more. But we can only receive up until what we're willing to receive. Right. And the measure that we put out, the measure that we put our hunger out there and say, Lord, I want more of you, is the measure that God will fill it. Yeah. Amen. You know, in the Old Testament, there was the account of where the widow was told to go get buckets. Was it Elijah, I think, or something like that? And where she was told to go get buckets for oil. And she went around and got so many buckets, and it said that all the buckets that she got were filled, but no more. But if she had gotten one more bucket, that would have been filled as well. The measure that you put out there is the measure it'll be filled. Amen. Praise God. And so the measure that you, the demand that you put on the Spirit, the demand that you put on the things of God. Listen, I am in a relentless pursuit of truth. And what I mean by that is that my theology can be changed all the time. In fact, God changes my theology at least once a day. Praise the Lord. I see something at least every time I get in the Word that maybe I didn't have completely perfect, or see another facet or part of it. Now, that doesn't ruin the overall faith, because my overall faith and trust is in God and His Word. But this is a process, and we have to understand that. Amen? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. So verse 26, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Now, this is important. At first, when I was putting this message together, I was only going to focus on those first couple of verses. And then the Lord, in my spirit, I heard, read on. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. Now, what is the purpose of me bringing these scriptures? Excuse me. I'm going to read verse 28 before I finish. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head. After that, the full grain in the head. Amen. So why do I bring these scriptures? And what do these scriptures have to do with it? Because what I saw in these scriptures that I haven't really seen before and I thought was pretty interesting is this idea that once the seed is planted, it just does its thing. Like if you just go out and you plant seed and you just scatter seed around, it just does its thing. You don't have to manipulate it. You don't have to make it work. But if you go out and you're on your way to scatter seed and say on the pathway to the garden, you drop some seed and didn't know about it. But then you came back, maybe you left it go and you didn't even see it for a little while and you came back and all of a sudden you got corn in the middle of your pathway. What, you don't know how that seed, all you know is that the seed must have been there. Praise the Lord. And so the same thing is with us, is that we're constantly planting seed, whether we realize it or not. And so the kingdom of God, Jesus is telling us the kingdom of God is like this, that we're constantly planting seed, whether we realize it or not. And so that's why it matters that we watch what we're doing, or that we pay attention, because as we're planting these seeds, it's growing. We don't even know sometimes that it's growing. But then all of a sudden we get a harvest and we're like, wait a minute. I don't want this harvest. I don't want to have this thing. But the seed's already been planted. It's already been started. And of course, this is a, you know, metaphorical to give us the idea of the process of how it works. And so we're constantly, through our lives, we're planting good seeds. We're planting bad seeds. You know, there was time I got attacked, praise the Lord, this after this holiday season, getting away from the word and getting, you know, kind of not away from the word in the sense that I didn't study at all or anything like that, but I just wasn't focused in some areas that I normally stay focused in. And because of that, some attack came as a result. And I realized that later on, of course, afterwards. And then afterwards, and this is the problem with most Christians too, is that we are always trying to clean up. We're trying to use faith after something has happened. Faith is not for after something has happened. Faith is for before it happens, to keep it from happening, to keep you from that trial. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You plant seeds because you want a specific harvest. And so that's what faith is for. Now, I'm not saying that faith can't work after, but it never works the same. I've never seen it work the same. I've never seen it just be like, oh, God just comes in and sweeps and cleans it all up. It doesn't happen. I've wanted it to happen. Praise the Lord. There's been many times this week, this year, whatever, that I've begged the Lord. You know, this is what I just want this cleaned up. Praise the Lord. And, you know, it seems like I have a witness in my spirit. Just do it better next time. Why? Because, you know, see, God is okay with us. Like when I say this, and you got to qualify it. God is okay with us going through trial. He doesn't cause trial. He doesn't make trial happen. But if we're not going to listen to his word, if we're going to do things opposite of what he says, he is okay with trial happening in our lives, because then it becomes, if the word won't teach us, then the trial is the only thing that will. And sometimes the trial doesn't teach us either. Sometimes people don't learn by the pain. They don't learn by getting burnt. And so they keep going back and getting burnt again. And this is what Jesus is talking about. Take heed how you hear. Take heed how you're receiving it. Understand that when you're sitting in the church, that you're receiving the word of God, that how you come in is going to make a difference to the seed you plant. And so if you come in from the standpoint of, I'm getting something today, I'm stirred up, I'm excited, I know that God's got good things for me, then you're going to receive, and you're planting seeds that you don't even realize. Praise the Lord. But then there's those people that come in and they're constantly fighting the system, constantly trying to fight what's going on. Listen, God didn't put us with perfect people. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. None of us are perfect. None of us have got this all figured out. We're doing it just right. Amen. And so when somebody does something imperfect, chalk it up to the fact that they're human just like you. Amen. Listen, brothers and sisters, we get along a lot better if we just stop judging one another. If we stop tearing apart everything everyone else is doing. Now, again, let's not take this out of context. That doesn't mean that we don't judge sin. Of course we judge sin. But it means that, you know, somebody does something snarky or whatever. It doesn't mean that now that they're the worthless Christian and they, you know, they don't know what they're doing. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. So turn with me to Isaiah 55. Praise the Lord. I love the book of Isaiah. I mean, by far, I got to say, by far, probably Isaiah is my favorite, one of my, if not my favorite, very close to my favorite Old Testament book. I just love all the wisdom and stuff in this book. Amen. Here's a great verse, Isaiah 55:11. It says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Praise the Lord. God's word is unchangeable. Jesus is unchangeable. The word of God, he's unchangeable. His word is unchangeable. His thoughts, his plans, they are unchangeable. Amen. The devil likes to manipulate the fact that God doesn't change. And how does he do it? He gets Christians or believers or whatever. He gets them to try to do the opposite of what God has said, expecting different results. And it just doesn't happen. He says, "My word that goes forth from my mouth, it will not return to me void." Absolutely. "And it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." The question, Christian, is, do we believe this? Do we believe that God's word is always truth? If we believe God's word is always truth, then there's no room for argument. There's no room for discussion about how what he said isn't true. Now, there is room for discussion on how to understand it better. There's room for discussion on how to get, you know, for example, I heard a really good, I heard this guy, he was an Old Testament, or he's a New Testament scholar. I could give you his name, but I'm not going to right now, but because I don't know enough about him. I just saw one thing. But he was being interviewed by this other man, and he was talking specifically about women preachers. And it was so funny because he was saying, now this guy is a Greek scholar. The Bible he was reading out of was the Greek version. He wasn't reading a translation. He was reading from the Greek. Like, he actually had the Greek in front of him in Greek, reading from it, and he was speaking in English. And then partway through the interview, it came out. He's like, and the interviewer said, "And I just want to bring up the fact that you're actually reading from the Greek." He said, "Yes, I'm reading from the Greek." He's a Greek scholar. And so he was tearing apart those scriptures, or not tearing apart, but getting into those scriptures where in Timothy, where it talks about women should learn in silence and all this stuff, and how, and then he's like, he was like, there's example after example of women being used as ministers in the New Testament. In fact, the entire book of Romans, or the chapter of Romans 16, talks many times about different women. Now, a lot of the names we don't know. It could be a man or woman because you don't know Greek. But like, one was a woman specifically, and she was also an apostle. And so we know that they were teachers. We know that God used them that way. And so we have to understand that sometimes maybe the understanding of it isn't perfect. The other thing is understanding Jewish customs and stuff, or different customs of the time period and things like that. But he was going through and making a case for how women absolutely should be ministers. And so, you know, again, my point is not to, you know, I'm not preaching a message about ministers, but there's people who just, they just grab onto something, one little thing, and they build doctrine on it. Yeah. And that's not people that, they think that they have something, but they don't have anything. Right. They have no basis or foundation in the word, not really. Not if they're manipulating or taking it out of context and all that stuff. And so it's important for us, as we go, it's important for us to be, you know, learned and to study these things. But the amount that we study is going to make a difference. The amount we give ourselves to it is going to make an absolute difference. And so we have to understand this, that God said that his word won't return to him void. He did not say your word won't return void, because your words are iffy. You know, that's the one thing, again, I was thinking about the unchangeableness of God. I love the fact that Jesus don't have a bad day. You know what I mean? I could get up here and be in a real bad mood and just preach a really nasty message. I'm saying it's possible. I don't think I've done it yet, but I could do that. You know, I could get up here and, or I could see you afterwards and maybe say something about, you know, that stupid shirt you're wearing or something like that, or, you know, just be mean and nasty. And just because I was having a bad day, right? I mean, that's we could all do that, right? But Jesus don't have those days. And that's why our faith is not based on our word. It's based on Jesus' word. Yeah. It's not. This is why God's word is not based on our feelings. It does not matter how you feel about it. It only matters what it says. It doesn't matter what you've experienced in life. It does not matter. It only matters what he says. And until Christians get to the place where they say that the word of God, the word of God is unchangeable, and it only matters what God said, not what I think about it. When a Christian gets to that point, is only a point, only the only time when they get to a place where they can truly be taught the word. Amen. And so we have to throw out preconceived notions. You know, most people that come to us are not babies. And so that means that most of them have either been churched or not been churched. The worst people to deal with are the ones that have been churched. Why? Because you got to get all the garbage thinking out of them and get the good thinking back into them. Amen. That's what it is. Most dealing with people who come from religious backgrounds, it's like, well, they think they know the word, but yet they're still not living it. Listen, if you think you know the word and you're not living it, you don't know the word. If you're not living in the blessing that God talks about, if you're not living in perfect, you don't know the word. Listen, I present before you, I don't know everything about the word. Praise the Lord. But my goal is I'm on a relentless pursuit of truth. I want to know it better. Amen. And so there's things I understand better today than I did even a year ago. But I'm constantly wanting to get more in. One of the hardest things to deal with are Christians who think they know it all. And it's just terrible. And it doesn't matter. I've had visitors that have done it. I've had people that, you know, have been with us for a little while and then left or whatever. and then also, you know, I've dealt with people who have they've gotten saved, maybe came into the church just saved or whatever, but they've had other kinds of teachings put into them that aren't biblical. But for whatever reason, they hold on to those ones, and they reject the ones that they're sitting under. Well, if the ones that you were sitting under before work, then go back to those. But if they don't, then drop them and move to what God is trying to do. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we see this, his word will not return to us void. Turn with me to John 8:32. And this is where we're going to get into some stuff. Amen? We're going to get into some good stuff here. I love this. John 8:32, we're going to read through verse 36. This was where the Lord told me to read further. Okay, John 8:32. Because I literally, when he gave me the scripture, I'm like, really? John 8:31-32, we're going there again, God? Like, you know, because it just goes through your mind. You know, and it's as if God says to me, he's sweet about it, but it's as if he says to me, what, so you know it all? You got it all? You got all the revelation on this? I can't show you anything else in my word? I'm just telling you the truth here, amen? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Praise the Lord. That's exciting, isn't it? The truth makes you free, but only when you have knowledge of it. Right. We have to look at it that way. The truth cannot set you free until you get knowledge of it. Right. What is knowledge? You have to have knowledge of the truth before it makes you free. Yeah. Listen, you can read the truth every single day, but until you have knowledge of it, it's not going to do anything for you. Right. Until you have revelation on healing, healing will not manifest in your body. Until you have revelation of prosperity, prosperity will not manifest in your life. Until you have revelation of the local church and the importance of it, God's blessings will not manifest in your life. Until you have understanding and knowledge of tithing and the purpose of tithing and giving, until you have knowledge of that, it's not going to bless your life. Praise the Lord. We have to have knowledge. Now, this is what God showed me. Which was a little bit different than what I've seen. That word to know or know. And this is what the Greek says about it. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. And I'm not a Greek scholar. That's why I have a concordance. But thank God for concordances. It means can speak of, be sure, perceive, and understand. Okay, that's pretty good. But it goes further. And this is where I thought was really interesting. It is a Jewish idiom for sexual intercourse. Ooh, a Jewish idiom for sexual intercourse. In other words, and if you know anything about the Old Testament, you will know in the Old Testament, quite often, especially in the when it talked about a man and a woman got together, it would say that the man went in and knew his wife. Now, it's quite interesting. I'll just give you a freebie. You want a freebie?
Yeah.
Today? Praise the Lord. That word in the Hebrew is the word yada. Have you ever heard the phrase yada, yada, yada?
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada is actually from Jewish culture. And it's a thing that people say, yada, 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 to know, to know, to know. And that's really literally what it means. I mean, to know, to know, to know. But just in case you didn't know that, a lot of them may not know. I don't know if they know that. But they just, it's a Jewish, like, slang. But anyways, that's free, no charge. Glory to God. But to know. So in the context of sexual intercourse. Now, the reason that I say this, the reason that this is important, is because we have to think about this for a minute. Number one, who was Jesus talking to right here? Remember, John 8:31, which we didn't read, but we always do read, says, and Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. So this is what we know about Jesus. When he spoke to people, he spoke to them in ways that they would understand. He used examples from their lives, and he, just the same as I do, when I preach a message, I try to use examples. If I'm going to give an example, I try to use an example from my life or your life that you'll understand, an illustration that will make sense to you, and that you can compare the word. You say, oh, this is what God is talking about. And that's exactly what Jesus was doing here. So when he said it to them, he said he used this word, praise the Lord, in which they reflected back, they would reflect, or they should have reflected back and said, wait a minute. He's saying, because what he says, let's reread this. He says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now that knowing the truth does not mean you just memorized it. Now, let me just ask you, for those of us who are older and the kids, you can plug your ears and not think about this. But if you have known somebody, praise the Lord, you know things about them that the average public doesn't know. Am I right? You kind of get into a more thorough knowledge of that other person, right? Okay, now I know it's kind of funny, but think about it. This is what Jesus chose to use when he talked to them. And the reason he used it is he said, because when you know my truth that way, when you know the truth of the word, when you know the word from that standpoint, when you have a deep knowledge of it, when you have a thorough, just you have expressed, you have gotten in there and gotten intimate with the word of God, you're going to be set free. Praise the Lord. And so that means a whole lot different, doesn't it? It looks a whole lot different. Nobody will get up here and use John 8:31, 32, and you guys will all think about it from a different standpoint from now on. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But that's a very important thing. Amen. So we see that Jesus was talking to the Jews, and that's why he was using it. Now, we know that the principle applies to us, and that's why we often leave the Jews out. But notice that it's important that God phrased that verse. And I never really got that before. Why did he say just to those Jews who believed him? I know that's who he was talking to, but we know that it applies to all men who believe him. So why did he say to the Jews? And then, of course, when you break apart, when you study and you get in there, all of a sudden you find something like this. Praise the Lord. And I would have never seen it except the Holy Spirit lead me that way. Amen. Praise the Lord. But now, this is important because the story doesn't stop there yet. In verse 33, it goes on and it says, they answered him. So this is how the Jews respond to him. We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? See, who they thought they were, they didn't see their bondage. They couldn't see the thing that kept them from the blessing of God because of who they thought they were. They had the Messiah standing in front of them, telling them how to get free. He was even giving them hints by using words like that, a word that they would have surely known. He's standing there using this word, and they're so lost in their own smarty whatever that they think in their own intellect. They're like, we're Abraham's descendants. We've never been in bondage to anyone. And the whole time, Jesus is looking at him saying, you can't even see the bondage on you. You can't even see how bound you are. And of course, we know that they were. When we read and we look back at the Jews, we know that they were bound, so much so that they couldn't receive it. So much so they put Jesus on the cross. Well, praise the Lord. But Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits a sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. But it's an intimate knowledge of the Son that makes us free.
Right.
Folks, I had Bibles in my house from the time I was a little boy. In fact, I don't remember living in a house where I didn't have access to a Bible. But I lived years and years and years in bondage because just living near that Bible didn't set me free. I knew John 3:16 from the time I was just, I mean, probably from the time I could walk and talk. I knew that scripture. I had heard of the 23rd Psalm all my life. These are scriptures that I remember going all the way back. And yet, they still didn't set me free. How did I still go into bondage? Because I didn't have an intimate knowledge of the Word. Because those around me didn't have an intimate knowledge of the Word. They didn't know how to deal with things. When I went through stuff, and you know, I don't use anything against my mother, wonderful woman, and she raised me in the best way that she could, and it was wonderful. There's so many things that I am today as a direct result of exactly how she raised me. But she didn't have a knowledge, and so some of the things that we went through, she didn't know how to combat that and to get around that. Amen. But God had intended it the whole time. The whole time, this Bible was, not this one, but the Bible was sitting there. The whole time we had access to the Word. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. They miss what He was saying because of their ideas of how things work. Because they thought that they knew, and so they missed what... So Jesus, so back to the scripture of Mark where it says, the measure that you use, the Word was standing before them, being presented before them, and the measure that they were using was like, but you're saying things that don't apply to me. You're saying things that, have you ever sat in church? I mean, honestly, have you ever sat in church and thought, man, that scripture doesn't apply to me. I don't know why I'm sitting here listening to that. I don't know, you're all probably too good to, but I'll tell you right now, I have. My pastor, one of the accounts in scripture that he went to a lot was the woman with the issue of blood. And whenever we went there, I got annoyed. I'll just tell you the truth. Why? Because he went there all the time. I'm like, why are we going back here? Why are we going back? Do we know these stories? Well, apparently we don't.
Yeah.
See, it's the same thing. It's the same attitude, the measure. No, when you can look at the Word, I read the Word. When I get into the Word, I get in the same scriptures, and I just get excited. I'm like, God, you're talking to me again.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. You're showing me again. Yeah. I don't care if I've read it 1,000 times, because there's always something else to get, isn't there? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So they miss what he was saying because of their ideas how things were. Now go ahead and turn with me to 2 Timothy 3:10. Praise God. I'll just tell you the truth too. You know, the devil tried to keep me from being in the pulpit this weekend. And I'm very glad. You know, I woke up, yesterday. I woke up and I decided, I was like, I'm not going to be taken. I'm not going to not be there. I'm going to go there. Now, that doesn't mean that, if you're sick or something like that you should come to church. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, I know that in preaching the Word, and that's what I'm called to do. And I wasn't going to miss that opportunity. And I'm so glad I didn't, because the things that I got in this message are things that I had never seen before. And so to see that little bit of information excites me so much. That like I would have walked. I mean, that's the thing, man. We got to get to the place where we'll walk through hell just to get to something good. Just to get to God. We'll walk through whatever has got to be just to get to that other side where God is. Because when we get there, we know that there's something good. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, that'll bless your life if you live by it. So 2 Timothy 3:10 says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance." Now, that's a pretty heavy thing there. But notice, I mean, really think about what Paul's saying to Timothy. He's saying, "You have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life." Notice And I'm not going to say this, from the standpoint of we exalt man or anything like that. But notice he said my doctrine.
Yeah. Yeah.
The doctrine, the revelation that I have. Folks, the revelation I was giving you tonight is my revelation.
Yeah.
I haven't specifically heard that preached before. I'm not saying it hasn't been. But I'm saying that the Lord delivered it to me.
Yeah.
Now, you have a choice. You can sit there and say, well, I can see that in the Word. And I'll agree with it and hook up with it. But that's all it is. That's all it is. When we minister the Word, we have to understand that that's what we're doing. We're ministering, praise the Lord, according to, the way that God has deemed it necessary or beneficial to us. Manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. Verse 11, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. what persecutions I endured. And out of them all, everybody say all. Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Now, see, this is the thing. A lot of people say a lot of things about Paul. They say, well, Paul had this sickness and all this. If you watch that stinking movie, The Apostle Paul, I went and watched it to get it. Oh, God, I was excited because he was, the greatest Christian ever lived. We're going to watch a movie about him. That's pretty cool. And I knew it probably wouldn't be perfectly right on. But they looked at, made him look like a sniveling weakling. Like, I'm looking at him, I'm like, I wouldn't follow this guy. I wouldn't follow this guy to the store for bread. I'm just telling you the truth. And here's this guy. They're portraying him as this, just this constant. Look at this. Yeah. Read what his own words say about the way he lived. And then he says, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yeah. Until the point where the Lord told him and witnessed in his heart that he was going to be crucified. And that was the one that he wasn't delivered from. But the Lord told him it was going to happen. And it was necessary for the plan of God. Now listen, not everyone has to be crucified. But notice when it happens, when something that's not the regularly scheduled programming happens, what does he do? He lets you know. That's what he did with Paul. He let him know. He said, listen, you're always delivered because the Bible always, the word says you're always delivered. But he says, this time you're not going to be. And he had purpose behind it. He had purpose behind it with all the ones that were, you know, all the ones that were martyred back then, all the apostles and disciples that were martyred. He had purpose in it. The purpose in it, praise the Lord. But that doesn't mean that God made it happen, but he allowed it to happen because of the furtherance of the gospel. Amen? But like I said, he always let them know. He told them. They knew that was coming. Amen? And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Don't think it's strange. If you have persecution, listen, there's two kinds of persecution. There's that which comes outwardly that you have nothing to do with, and there's that which comes starting from inwardly, which you have everything to do with. If it's your own persecution, that doesn't count. If it's stuff that you cause, it doesn't count. Persecution is when it comes from the devil, when it comes from outside sources, when it was something that you didn't provoke and it just happened. That's what he's talking about here. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Listen, folks, we are living in a time where evil men and imposters are growing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We've got whole hordes of Christianity that are saying, well, no, the word doesn't apply to us anymore. You can have a gay minister be in the pulpit, stuff like that. That's not the will of God. Right. Praise the Lord. It just isn't. Not when you read scripture. But they will be deceived and continue to be deceived. Amen? Yep. It'll grow worse and worse. Right. But you must. Everybody say, I must. Continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Praise the Lord. So what do we hearken back to? We hearken back to the way Jesus lived. We hearken back to the way Paul lived. We hearken back to these things because these are the things that teach us, not man's ideas. I've heard people say, actually that one, I think it was that same guy that was talking about the Greek scholar there. He was talking about how the apostles, we don't have those anymore. And I just don't see that in the word. I just don't see where that, how that's so, according to scripture. Amen? Yeah. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to stop there for a minute. From childhood, you have known this Holy Scriptures. I would gather, I didn't look this word up, I would gather it's probably the same word. But you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. Now this is a really interesting thing here. Because one of the things that I love to preach about is how salvation is just not just for when you die. That salvation is a way of life. Praise the Lord. It would seem that this would not make sense unless salvation was more like a way of life, right? It just wouldn't make sense if it was just for when you die. Amen? But it makes you wise. The Holy Scriptures, the teaching makes you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Our faith is in Christ Jesus, but the scriptures will make us wise for salvation. In other words, now that word salvation, this is interesting here. Of course, I think I did write that down. Yeah. Salvation means deliverance, preservation, safety, health. Salvation as the present possession of all true Christians. The present possession of all true Christians. Are you saved today? And see, that's exactly what the word is pointing to. It'll make you wise for that. What does it mean? It means those scriptures will lead you to be wise. When you study the scriptures, when you get in there, when you know the word, when you give that place, scripture that place in your life, amen? And then it goes on to say here in verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Yeah. All scripture. I have heard Christians tear it apart. Well, Paul said that. Jesus didn't say that. Well, Jesus didn't say this. And Jesus didn't say a lot of stuff. It does not matter. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Yeah. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, if you'll receive it. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The issue that we have, the issue that we face as a body, is that not every Christian is thoroughly equipped. And so we have a lot of Christians going out there living lives that aren't equipped at all because they have no premium on the word. They've put no importance in the truth of the word. They only want to believe what the religion told them or what they believe. They don't want to believe what God actually said through these prophets and apostles and all the other writers of the Bible, praise the Lord. They don't want to believe all that. They want to take it their own way. And that's why they're not seeing the victory. That's why they're not seeing the change. Jesus said, you will know them by their fruits. You will know them by their fruits. It's an absolute matter of fact. You will know them by their fruits. In other words, the fruit that someone is producing in their life will be clear. Praise the Lord. It will. You'll know who they are by those fruits. It'll make clear who they are. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so I look at people's fruits. What kind of life are they living? Are they living a life that's persecuted, but they're always being delivered out of them all? To me, that's a person who's got the fruit of the word. Does they have the same fruit that Paul had? Praise the Lord. When I see a person who, I've met many ministers. I've met many ministers that sit there and talk about the word like what Jesus said isn't true. Yeah, absolutely. But the fruits of it are in their lives. No healing, no prosperity, no victory. I've seen it. Praise God. I mean, I have seen it. I'm just telling you the truth. It's sad. But it's not God's highest and best. It's not his plan and his purpose. But see, these people will believe their circumstances over the word of God. And so they've and really, it's just another form of pride. And we don't even realize it. But it's when you say that you, listen, when you say that it can't be true because this hasn't happened in my life, you have just exalted your circumstance, your life, you've just exalted it above the word of God. You said that what you think you know is more important, is more true than the word of God. And when that's the ultimate in pride. How is that anything less than pride? The same thing the devil was. He exalted himself. Well, how do you think the devil gets into the church? He gets people to exalt themselves all the time. They say, well, I know better than the pastor knows. Yeah, all the time. Listen, I don't know everything. Some of the things I have known, listen, I have known ministers that I love dearly. I've seen them do things that I'm like, that's not scriptural at all. But you know why I've seen it? Because they're not perfect. And not everything they're going to do is perfect. Dear Jesus, if I hold them to that standard, what kind of standard do you think he's going to hold me to? If you hold me to that standard, what kind of standard do you think God's going to hold you to? If you look and you see one bad thing in my life or something bad in my life or something maybe not, perfect, and you look at it and you say, well, that, you know, blah, 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 and you just have a lot to say about it. Well, guess what? You got a standard, brother or sister, that's going to be, you're going to be held to. You better be careful when you hold another brother or sister to a standard that you won't be held to. I'm just telling you the truth. You better watch out. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is a merciful God. Amen. Glory to God. I'm going to close with this. Galatians 6, 7 in the Amplified. Praise the Lord. We know the scripture, but I wanted to read it in the Amplified on purpose. Do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions, or by his precepts being set aside. That's important. He inevitably deludes himself who attempts to delude God. For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that we are sowers. The sower sows the word. If we want the produce that comes from the word, then we've got to be people who study and sow the word. Yeah. Amen? And I believe that you'll do it. Of course, I'm not rebuking you or anything. You're all great people. Praise the Lord. We all have places to go, you know, we all have places where we can go higher. And hopefully this message will take you higher. I believe that it will. Amen?